Good morning, everyone. Coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, it is Saturday morning's hottest streaming media political talk show, Inside the Eye, live with The Fedge.
If it was up to me, I'd dump the Israelis tomorrow.
Heck, did I just hear someone tell a standing member of Congress that if it were up to them, they would dump the Israelis tomorrow? Sounds like something you might hear right here on Inside the Eye Live.
The Fetch. What a man. Oh, my God. You have to listen to that show. He was brilliant. I didn't know he had gonads of steel like that and a mind like a frigging razor. I didn't realize he was so clear. He cut through this that cognitive dissonance that is going on in the whole Patriot music movement.
And now it's time for Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. From Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia, this is The Fetch, and you are live Inside the Eye. Today's date is Saturday, March 11th, 2017, and a good Saturday morning to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good afternoon to evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. We have been here in Riyadh under overcast skies the last couple of days, which is kind of nice because that's kept the temperatures down. We had somewhat of a warm week. Temperatures reached up into the middle 80s, something like that, earlier in the middle part of the week. But today, temperatures got only as high as 75 degrees, somewhere around there. And there's been a pretty brisk wind blowing at around 17 miles per hour out of the southwest, and that is creating localized dusty conditions, while the sounds of tumbling plastic bottles can often be heard clattering down the street below my window here. Temperatures this evening should be downright pleasant, though, as we should be getting down to a very comfortable and, to me, quite nice 68 degrees throughout the useful part of the evening, which generally falls within the 12 to 1 a.m. time frame. And we are projected to hit an ultimate low of 64 degrees in the hour before sunrise. So you are up to date here on the weather in Riyadh. It's sunset, by the way, is exactly 6 o'clock. So right at 6 o'clock, all the mosques started to go off because they go off right at sundown. And so I had to get up and shut my windows because I want the fresh air, but I don't want the noise in the background. So we had to shut the windows, everybody. Hey, good morning. I hope you're doing great. I'm having a great time here in nobody has a great time in Riyadh. Don't let me kid you. Nobody has a great time in Riyadh. But nonetheless, things are going well. We've been very busy. Thanks for that. And things are going very, very well. So we hope everything's going well with you and yours. We do not have any guests today. So join us in the chat room. I'm going to make my way over there right now just because that's generally how I check to see how things are going. Let's see here. I do see Blackbird. Blackbird, you're there. Good morning, guy. Frederick's in there. And Nick Donin, Road Dogging, Blau Ocean, Nick Donin, and Von Hash. Von, how are you, man? You know, I haven't been very busy on Twitter because I've just been busy. So if you've been following my Twitter account at Radio ITEL, that's Twitter at Radio ITEL, I haven't been so busy this past really 2 to 3 weeks. Just been very busy. I'm trying to finish up a lot of things here because I'm trying to leave and get some R&R going. And so we're hoping to get out of here soon, at least for 10, 12, 15 days. And, you know, things are going great, guys. Thank you for all of the So Road Dogging saying, yeah, that's great. 3 hours of a Fetch rant today. I know a lot of you guys like my rants, and I have got a great, probably it's going to be a rant show. And my rant shows sometimes can get mesmerizing, everybody. So sit back, grab yourself some coffee if you're in Europe, perhaps a glass of wine or a nice beer, And if you're in Asia, maybe it's already tea time to go to bed. I don't know. But nonetheless, everybody sit back, relax, and enjoy 3 hours of intelligent media for the politically aware. You know, it's actually been a pretty exciting week, though. You know, I was talking to some of my colleagues out there, both in the States and in the States, I got to close windows while I talk here. I'm not going to be able to find anything. But in the States or here in Saudi. And in Saudi Arabia, you know, you're encouraged because people don't understand the political world here. You're encouraged to never talk religion. And that's probably good advice because you're bound to make a mistake if you do. You are encouraged to never talk politics. And that generally happens. And you're obviously encouraged to never mention the royal family. Those are the three things that expatriates are encouraged not to speak about when you come into Saudi Arabia. Yours truly, being somebody who's been around a really long time and understands the cultures, we generally tend to not talk about the royal family. Yeah, that's kind of taboo. So we don't touch that subject, quite honestly. And we don't touch the religious side of it because it's just you're at ground zero, folks. Get used to that. You got to understand how that works, and I won't get into that. But the politics, everybody seems interested in the politics. It's really been kind of amazing, quite frankly, because you've got so many stunts with Trump and the Israelis and the immigration issues and Marine Le Pen and guilt wielders, and then the rising Jewish power play going on in the UK. You've got Sweden. And I don't follow the Far East like I used to. I used to be very big with the Far East, with Korea, Japan. That was usually my area of focus, and I haven't been doing that. Wow, what's that? I just saw that in the chat room. I got to go look at that. We've got Blackbird saying you guys got a nor'easter blowing in. And that's kind of cool. You know, it hasn't been a really crazy weather year, except for maybe in California, as far as I'm concerned, relative. But you've got all kinds of different stunts going out there in the political world, and it is really fascinating, really, really fascinating. There were reports this week, for instance, and these were unconfirmed, coming from Iranian channels, that said the United States was actually working with the Houthis against a particular al-Qaeda cell, and this particular al-Qaeda cell had fighters that were linked to Saudi Arabia. And I'm like, man, now that's getting messy if that's going on. You know, very difficult, in other words. You had rumors, there's a town down south in Saudi Arabia called Jizan. And there were rumors, again, because none of this is confirmed, that there was an infiltration along the border and a lot of Saudi armor was hit in that infiltration. Now, I've actually been talking to my counterparts here about these issues, quite frankly, and if it's still happening, I need to go back and talk some more. But something like that happened this week. There were also rumors from Yemen that a ballistic missile, not intercontinental because that's huge, but there was a missile fired off towards Riyadh at a particular military base in Saudi Arabia. Again, none of this is confirmed, but because these are all coming from Iranian channels, and you really can't trust Iranian channels any more than Jewish channels, to be honest with you. But they were saying that the base was hit, and that's only about 40 kilometers from where I'm at. So, you know, guys, it's been interesting because I have been like just following along what's going on. And then you've got what's going on inside of Syria. You know, this week Erdogan was visiting with President Putin of Russia, and they are trying to make their deals. But Turkey is invading Syria. And then the U.S. has announced that they've got something like 500 special ops. They haven't announced. This is perhaps they have, and I just haven't caught it. But there's like 500 special operations forces as advisors to the Kurdish, one of the Kurdish groups, the YPG in Syria. And then you've got an announced 400 Marines now working in and around the city of Manjib. Now, mind you, none of these Americans are authorized by international law to be there. This is a case of might makes right. Well, if you don't like it, try to stop it type of thing, because we're there. And what are you going to do about it? Now, they've not been invited there by the Syrian government, so they are invading that territory by international law. But at this week, it was announced that the Russians and the Americans were both patrolling the city of Manjib. So, therefore, you've got a de facto collaboration going on by the U.S. military, the Pentagon, and that would include Army and Marines now in Manjib working alongside with the Russians. So the two are working together. I mean, the Americans and the Russians are both working together. And that is kind of fascinating, because it's all believed that this has all been put in place as a show of force to essentially block the Turks from going any further down into areas towards Raqqa, the city of Raqqa, which is supposed to be the regional capital of Daesh. Then there were reports coming out of Iraq again, but this is coming through Iranian channels. And I do know that the Americans are not trusted in Iraq. I have my own people there. But they're saying that what the Americans were doing was, rather than helping, they're actually, Americans are, although they're helping the Iraqis in some areas, rumors, again, none of this is substantiated, but this is what's floating around out there. So don't call it fake news. I'm not selling this as news. I'm just telling you what's being reported and what's being rumored in the region right now. So now you've got U.S. forces. The Iraqis are claiming, again, this is coming from Iranian publications, Fars News Agency. But the Iraqis are complaining that the Americans are going in with helicopters and evacuating some of these Daesh militant commanders, getting them out of harm's way, because, quite frankly, the Iraqi military is rolling up Daesh right now, and it has become a very perilous situation. Mosul is not completely captured yet, but it continues to fall, district by district type of thing. And at the same time, the Syrian government has been rolling back the Daesh people. And you hear a lot of politicians in the West, especially America, perhaps, talking about how we need to fight and, you know, come to some way to finish Daesh once and for good. But it's really not so hard, guys. Jordan this week, again, none of this is substantiated, but Jordan this week, it was rumored, completely shut their border to the Daesh militant side of things. They are no longer treating Daesh militants who are injured in battle. They have cut off funding to those militants in the south. And that means that only the Israelis, that's right, everybody, only the Israelis are offering assistance to these organized insurgent/terrorist groups now operating in the south of Syria, that would be, which is absolutely fascinating. Trump, you know, someone's saying in the chat room, Trump is an effing idiot. You know, sometimes I think so. You know, then you've got the Trump issue. A lot of us are concerned that Trump really doesn't get how, I mean, again, people are trying to tell us, you know, Fetch, you're just duped. You know, Trump has always been an actor. He's always been a player. He was just out there to fool you guys. And I don't really believe that to be true. I think he's genuinely trying, but he's just naive as to the power politics. And he's not naive. That's the funny part. He's not naive. He gets what's going on. But sometimes you got to wonder just what he's doing. But you've got lots of rumors about deep state warfare going on inside of America. You've got the Vault 7 WikiLeaks leaks this week about how the CIA has been essentially wholesale spying on basically the world. And, of course, the CIA is denying it. Oh, we're just trying to protect you. We're out there to protect you, which is a bunch of BS. You know, I'll tell you a story. If you've listened to me a lot of years, maybe you've heard this story, but I'm going to tell it again because it's a true story. Back in like 2003, 2004, not long. Actually, it might have been before that. Let me think. No, I think it was around, right? It was after 9/11 for sure. So it had to be 2001, 2002. If you're familiar with Los Angeles subway system, and again, wow, the chat room's just buzzing. I got guys in the chat room. Keep up the great work. Thank you. There's a new name there. It looks like Wolf's Gong. I don't remember a Wolf's Gong. So if you're new there, welcome. I don't recall that name. But nonetheless, I got to tune you guys out because you guys are blowing my brain in the chat room. I just can't keep up with the chat room and actually focus on talking. It's kind of hard to do both at once. You know, I was in Los Angeles, and I'm not your, you know, they called me back then, you know, yeah, boy, back then I was like this big time conspiracy theorist. You know, when I was talking about LAPD dealing drugs and the cocaine, controlling the cocaine trade along with the CIA, you know, I had collected certain anomalies, let's call it anomalies, and I went to like the Roy Ball Federal Building in Los Angeles, and those of you who know LA know what I'm talking about, down there on First Street near Little Tokyo. And I went down there and I went into the DEA's office and I went up and I spoke with a agent and I said, you know, look, they're doing 1, 2, 3, 4. They're using these microwaves. They're using this type of technology. They are operating from this particular building for sure. They are illegally wiretapping my phones. And basically, I can't move. I have no privacy. I don't have work right now. I can't get out. I can't leave. And I'm basically under duress. I need your help. And they said, you know, sir, we're familiar with that area, but one of our assets, one of our agents was found dead about 3 weeks ago with two of his fingers cut off. Our advice to you, sir, is that you lay low and you get out of there as soon as you can. Now, mind you, that's your Federal Drug Enforcement Administration telling you to lay low. We recommend, yes, we understand what you're saying, sir. Yes, we get it. But we have been ordered to not go into the area that you're talking about and for you to lay low. And I left that meeting kind of in shock. It's like, oh my goodness, they know what's going on. Like, I know what's going on and we can't do a darn thing about it. Well, you know, this was 1998. And this was like starting to wake me up really effectively, you know, when you're having your, and now you got the Vault 7 taps and all the ways they spy on people now. But back then they would do a physical wiretap. I mean, literally physically tap into your line back in 1998. FISA wasn't even around yet. All of these various technologies to do the backdoor monitoring was just starting to get put in place. So they were still often doing the physical wiretaps where they would actually tap into your line with another piece of copper. And you could actually hear them clicking when they would do it. And I remember calling AT&T and dealing with the issue. And AT&T would say, hold on, sir, we're going to do a check right now. And I was in telecom. I understood the security world. I understood how the whole system worked. And eventually we ended up with something like a $16,000 phone bill. And that was set against a commission that month. I was supposed to make in commission like 1 month, $16,700 in commissions that month. And my phone bill came in at $16,000. And I said, no, wait, now I kind of get the game. See, people say, you know, the tapping, there's nothing wrong. Bullshit. Excuse me. Bullshit. You know what? Because if you're ever targeted, if they're ever after you, and people, guys, you got to wake up to the reality of these scumbags in the secret side of the world here, this deception side. If they ever target you, they're going to try to take you down and destroy you because they want you completely out of the picture so you can no longer talk. You can perhaps no longer even survive. They want you to be so wiped out that you will never, ever be a thorn in their side again. And that's kind of what happens. So they can target your business. They can go to your employers, or they can go to your vendors, or they can go to your customers, and they can whisper, whisper, whisper like a bunch of cowards. And then next thing you know, everybody's shunning hurting you and you don't know why. These are the realities of what happens in the world of counter-espionage, when you, as a private citizen, notice malfeasance by your government and try to raise this malfeasance within the system so that people will deal with the malfeasance and we can get rid of this human absolute trash that we are paying taxes for to go around and destroy our families, our neighborhoods, our cities with their drugs and whatever else that they're peddling. And perhaps now, as we've learned, the pederast and the pederast child trafficking. You can't assume. See, these guys out there who say that, oh, we're just doing all this spying to protect you. Bullshit. Bullshit. You're doing it because you're trying to cover your tracks so that in case anything starts to leak out, you can nip it in the bud before it ever gets to the light of day. That's why these people, in my opinion and through my experience, are so draconian with the amount of espionage on the people that they do. Now, mind you, there's a lot of perverts in there. I mean, I've met people who have links with CIA, and these are years ago. And they talk about what they do in these stations off in Southeast Asia in the middle of nowhere. They're whacked. These people, you have to deal with reality. These people go into the secret parts of the world where they cannot be seen because they are not involving themselves in things that you, the general public, would find savory, that you, the general public, would actually appreciate as being a dignified way to live your life. Deal with reality, everybody. Focus on reality, the permutations that make up the ultimate scum of the world. Hey, oftentimes go into the deepest, darkest, deep state because that's where they can all hide, everybody. It's not high. It's difficult to hide on the outside, but it's real easy to hide when you're just, you're controlling all the apparatus of investigation, etc. Well, lo and behold, I'd already figured out the wiretapping scumbags all the way back 1996, 1998. And it was much worse than just that. It was the most invasive, insane time of my life, but I would not trade it for anything either because it taught me a lot about what real evil is on this planet. But lo and behold comes 9/11, you know. And by then, I'd already gotten a good handle on, I got a good handle on, I don't want to say the numerology, but the gematria, the symbolism of the occult, the symbolism of the quote-unquote the Illuminati, etc., and the Kabbalists. So 9/11 comes along, and I think the 9/11 spell lasted about 3 weeks with me, something like that. Within 3 weeks, actually the first day, I found it very bizarre. You know, come on. I knew that those towers were built to sustain an aircraft. How in the heck can they fall? And then I remember being at the Ramada, I think it's a Ramada Wilshire or something like that, on Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. And you had somebody sitting there, oh, I worked on the Pentagon. And I was also, I'm an architect, and those buildings fell exactly as they were designed because rather than them toppling over and hurting people, they're supposed to just fall down in their footprint, you know. And I'm like, it took me years later to understand that without a doubt, most likely, this conspiracy called 9/11 was so big, so overwhelming, that you had these types of agents with this type of line distributed throughout hotels across America. I wouldn't doubt it for a second. It was a massive conspiracy. That's why nobody's ever, ever dealt with it and actually taken down a single person that was ever behind it. And they can't, or they can't, because it will destroy essentially the entire deep state infrastructure of the United States, and with it, Israel and the United Kingdom. Let's not forget the BBC was heavily involved in false or fake reporting on that day. Let's see here. I see we have 1 minute to go, 2 minutes to go. So, okay, I got more to go. So I remember being in Los Angeles, and this was like 2001, 2003, a little bit after 9/11. And I was in Pershing Square. If you guys know Pershing Square, it's part of the subway system or the Red Line in Los Angeles. And they were holding a drill, and the sheriff's department were heading the drill. And it was all about counterterrorism. And I remember as I got to the subway, I started to walk down the stairs, you know, take the elevator down, the escalator down, and they checked my ID. When I got down to the very bottom of the escalator and walked over to the ticketing booth, the ticketing station, I had my ID checked again. Then you go down another flight of stairs to the platform level, and they checked my ID again. Three times they checked my ID in the span of literally there's nowhere to escape. So it's like, you guys have checked my ID three times. And by the third time, I'm getting upset. First of all, you don't have a right to just come and ask for my ID, guys. You don't need to. I'm in shorts. I'm looking like I'm a tourist. And you're like checking my ID like I'm some fabulous terrorist guy that you're going to catch. And I'm like, you guys are freaking idiots. You sheriffs look like a bunch of clowns. You look like a bunch of morons. You don't even have a clue how the game is played. And I kind of got angry. And of course, in this world, what do they teach these morons? Because quite frankly, yeah, I know Trump supports your local service officers, but please, there are limits to the tolerance towards the idiocy of these morons. Okay. Am I in the break yet? It should be coming up any second here. I want to complete this. Let's see. We should be coming up on a break, everybody. There it is. And then I'll carry on the story to the other side. I wish I had a clock. I'm pretty good at it, but I wish we had a clock. Anyways, everybody, it's the Fetch, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Back with more right after this. Anyways, it's the Fetch, everybody, Inside the Eye Live, intelligent media for the politically aware. Right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Listener-sponsored and supported radio. And, of course, what we'd like you to do is help keep the network always up and running. You know, we've had a little talk out there about the network. I haven't had any information sent to me, but what we really ask you to do is, again, keep the network up and running. Let's just do our part. That's all. We can't. Audio problems. I hope you're not going to go back into that one again. We should be fine. But nonetheless, hopefully there's not any audio problems. But basically, guys, help keep the network alive, up and running. Again, just make some type of weekly or monthly donation on behalf of Inside the Eye Live. And again, at least let's contribute our part to the network. And that's all we ask. We are one of something like 83 different shows here. So we don't need all that much, but we certainly need to hold our own because we really are one of the bigger shows here on the network. I know that for a fact. So, again, we ask you to, again, you know, do your part. Just keep us out there and, you know, keep us in your thoughts about, you know, helping keep the channels open, as we say, because without freedomslips.com and Revolution Radio, we don't have a live show every Saturday morning. And, you know, we've been doing this a really long time. And we intend to keep it going. So again, we do appreciate your support. So make your way over to freedomslips.com and make a donation. Just if you can, of course, if you can. Now, the ITEL Cat Report, Inside the Eye Live, is sponsored by the ITEL Cat Report. Is one way to sponsor the show, and it's proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post, good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. It's inconvenient. Sorry about this, guys. Got to move that. There you go. It is inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by our very own Blackbird Nine, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn. He is an NSA whistleblower, 9/11 truth advocate, former 32-degree Mason, and a former North Carolina House candidate. And you can hear Blackbird's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Spreaker. For more information, visit www.blackbird9tradingposts.org. That's blackbird9tradingposts.org. You know, when I remember the internet was first getting out there, you know, all those advertisements You know, I felt sorry for the announcers, you know, always having to say WWW. But nonetheless, anyways, guys, because I just said WWW, and it made me think of those days. I'm in a good mood. Hope you are. Again, hope you're having a good day. Join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door. We've got a good crowd going there right now. And again, so join us there, everybody. And telephone lines, if you'd like to call in, 1-347-688-2902. That's 1-347-688-2902. So feel free to call in. This is going to be a solo show today. We do not have any guests, so just if you'd like to call in after all these announcements, feel free to do so. Cat report, kind of simple. Yesterday, the girlfriend came home with a big headache. And I said, why do you have a headache? Because, you know, she had the hospital problems last year. So I'm always worried when she complains about headaches now. And she told me that one eye, the big guy, he had, hey, Mr. Rowe's in the chat room. Welcome, Mr. Rowe. And sayonara, sayonim, I think that's a new name too. But nonetheless, one eye was like ranging on this like street. I live on a hill, so there's streets above our street, you know, so you got to kind of climb up the hillside to get there. And he was on this other hill up above at this one particular Philippine restaurant that's kind of far from my house, quite frankly. And when they were leaving yesterday to go, they were walking to the main street, and they saw one eye over here at this restaurant, which is really far away because we put a collar on him with a bell so we can more easily identify him from far away. So he was way far from my house yesterday. And so she came home. She was like worried all day thinking that maybe he ran away again, that he wouldn't make his way back because this is actually far away from the house. And so she was worried all day. So she came home yesterday after dark and opened the door, and she heard the meow of one eye, and he had been waiting under a car in front of our house, probably waiting for Emily to come, obviously waiting for Emily to come home. And she says she's just so angry with him because why are you over at that area? So this cat has a huge range of territory that he's carved out for himself. I mean, this is a big male. This cat is big, and he's really strong. And he's got a huge territory. I didn't realize. So I this morning I called, and they fed him. They fed the cats before they went out today, but they didn't let them out of the house today. Usually they go out and take care of their bathroom in the morning. So when they came home, the bathroom was filled with cat poop. I know that's a nice thing to hear in the morning. But see, we've trained the cats, at least one eye, to use the bathroom, which is no problem because it's easy to clean. And so Bruiser, fortunately, the blind guy, he's also using it now. So the bathroom was just a mess apparently this morning when they came home. And so what could I say? You know, it's like, good. That's good. They're not messing up your house, man. It's better than going in the living room, front room, because I don't keep litter in my house. It just smells too much. Too bad. So I just force the cats outside when they want to use the bathroom. But nonetheless, today, there's always, you know, I have a window in my kitchen, and it's kind of like you look down to the houses below, and there's always these cats there basically screaming in the mornings now for food. Apparently, One Eye's girlfriend was there, a fully black cat, and then the one that One Eye likes to beat up on was there. And he's a strong cat, too, but he's kind of apparently lost out on the territorial claim thing. And so they're down there screaming for food today, and One Eye's at the kitchen just like growling, like, you know, this is my area, get out. But nonetheless, it's really calmed down. You know, we had a big, big, huge cat fight outside my window here in Saudi, and it was literally outside my window, and you had these two big males going at each other, and I actually had to walk down at 2 o'clock in the morning to break up a cat fight, and I would break it up, and then they would just be tumbling around, and I'd have to go break that up. It took me about probably 5 minutes to break these two guys up because they just wouldn't let me sleep. It's like 2 in the morning and you can't sleep, you know, cats screaming, it's a little bit difficult. But that's about it. I mean, it's been pretty quiet otherwise. It's been going very nice. But that is the ITEL Cat Report. Again, it is proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all creatures, great and small. And it's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk, and by Blackbird's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by our very own Blackbird 9, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackbird. You can check him out, Blackbird 9, in the chat room. Again, at InsideTheEyeLive.com, click on the live chat button, say hello. And he has his own show now, Blackbird 9's Breakfast Club. It's broadcast every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on Spreaker. And that would be 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit Blackbird9's TradingPost.org for more information. All right, we're going to like to share a little bit here. If you'd like to send me any emails, there's two ways you can reach out to me. There's many ways, quite frankly. You can follow me on Facebook. All of these links are available on my website, InsideTheEyeLive.com. So you can follow me on Facebook. You can send me a message there. You can send me an email, thefetch@InsideTheEyeLive.com. I read pretty much everything, not everything. And you can also follow me on Twitter at Radio ITEL and send me a Twitter private message, and I'll get it. I'll consider that like an email. It's a private message. And I got two messages in the past month I thought were pretty cool. We get a lot, by the way. These are the ones I found. But I don't get so much to where, you know, I don't read everything. So what we have here is I think, John. And I promised him we would read this on air, and he said it's okay. He said, "Good morning, sir. Been listening for a couple years now. Really appreciate your time and energy. I always get up to listen in and read the chats. Have a great day and look forward to the show. Thank you, John." So I sent a nice email back asking him if I could put this on air, and he said, "Awesome." Quoting here, "Awesome and good morning. Thank you for this platform for us all to speak and share, even for us newbies, much pun. I feel very honored that you've reached out and taken the time to correspond with me. Many blessings to you and yours. You have validated my awakening, of which you are an integral part. Thanks again, John." So, John, thank you so much. We appreciate these types of emails. And we got another message, and it goes like this. It says, "Your show and BB9 are the best on the web. I used to follow Renegade for a while, but recently they went in a way that is not interesting me anymore, flat earth, etc. But I guess with age comes wisdom. Your show is very important for us as it is intelligent, mature, and on important points. Keep it real." And that came from Val, I believe. And guys, these are nice to get, you know, because we volunteer our time. And we volunteer our knowledge, our efforts, etc., to reach out to you folks. And we really appreciate getting that. But if you'd like to send me a message, have it read on air, or any questions, just send it. Again, you've got the Twitter account at Radio ITEL. You've got the Fetch at InsideTheEyeLive.com. And I know I'm speaking kind of fast here. And you can follow me on Facebook and send me a private message there. All of these ways you can reach out to me. And if we get something that's really cool, hey, we'll put it on the air. We kind of like getting this type of stuff. So thank you so much for all of that. And you know, it's interesting, you know, both of these gentlemen are BB9, Blackbird 9 Breakfast Club listeners. And the way you know that is because Blackbird 9 has something that he calls the newbies. Be nice to the newbies, and everybody's a newbie. I don't use that phrase, but he does. And here he's talking about newbies. That would be John, so I know he's a listener of Blackbird 9. And I have somebody talking about, obviously, straight up, BB9 are the best on the web. Now, regarding what's going on over at Renegade, and you know, Renegade does their own product. I think they do some good work, everybody. Whether or not we like everything they do, hell, heck, they probably don't like everything I do either. But nonetheless, they do some good work, and Kyle and I have collaborated for so many years. I wish him all the best and hope he stays focused and continues to produce great content, because he is a talent, and I would, you know, obviously we want to see people succeed out there in our genre here. So, and he's certainly somebody that's took a chance and done something, and I'm certainly not going to criticize what he's done. We just wish him the best for sure. So that's just to clear the air in case anybody's wondering. And he's got some nice talent over there, quite frankly, over at Renegade Broadcasting. So, guys, I know not everybody wants to hear all it. You know, I, I get everything, guys. But nonetheless, they've got a great following, and we wish everybody the best. All right. Where were we? We were talking about this issue in Los Angeles, like after the 9/11 event. And we're really talking about deception, the CIA, when we break all of this down, everybody, we're really talking about deception and the deep state. Because when I watched this event unfold, and this was quote-unquote an anti-terror operation run by Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. And L.A. County Sheriff in Los Angeles, they have the jurisdictional rights, I believe, on the subway systems in Los Angeles. At least for this event, they did, for sure. And there was probably 30, 40 sheriff's officers in on this event. Mind you, it's a tiny station, folks. It's if you know Pershing Square in L.A., it's a very tiny station. And I had gone through one choke point. You know, a choke point is where you know there's nowhere to go. You just have to go through that point. I went through the choke point to get on the escalator. I went to the choke point at the ticket counter, which would be after the elevator. And then I went on another choke point to get down to the platform. I passed through three choke points. Each time they asked me for my ID. And I'm like, you know what? You guys are freaking amateurs, man. Why are you needing to ask me for my ID three different times when you should be organized enough to know where I'm being checked? It was clear that these people were amateurs. They didn't know what they were doing. They were just running around like monkeys with their heads cut off. You had just no organization going on down there. And I got upset. It's like, you know, I just need to go, guys. Just leave me the frick alone. Go play Uber security man, you know, with your uniform, but get out of my face. Because the real terror in America isn't from, especially in 2001, 2002. It's not coming from an external source, everybody. The real terror, like the Madrid, the train bombing in Spain, or 9/11, or the Kansas City, Oklahoma, I think it was. Was it Kansas City bombing? I think it was Kansas City. Or, you know, you can name others, I guess, but a lot of these were false flags, or the 7/7 operation in London. Folks, these are state-sponsored. Let's not kid anybody. These aren't externally organized. Gee, all the cameras happen to be turned off. Oh, boy, yes. Come on, you morons. They're state-sponsored. And if the deep state wants to attack Pershing Square and for whatever reason take it out, does anybody believe for a second that the L.A. County Sheriff's Department has people intelligent enough and insightful enough to actually figure out what is going on? Heck, you could have the CIA or some person in a deep state role come to the guys inside of the LA County Sheriff's Department, say something, and they'll be so enamored that they were visited by somebody in Washington that they're going to just go drooling all over to please this guy and never, ever do intelligence operatives, meaning agents or officials, inside of the United States, do they ever, like, can this guy be trusted? In other words, they haven't figured out yet inside of the United States at some levels that not everybody's on the same team. Right? Not everybody's on the same team, everybody. There are enemies both without and within. And America, heck, we're protected by the Pacific Ocean on the left of your face and north, and the Atlantic Ocean on the right. We don't need to worry about external enemies at all. Tell me, who has any type, besides the Russians, who has any type of delivery mechanism that could bring war to the U.S. shores? Honestly, how are you going to get there? You can't. Can you imagine the logistics that it would take for anybody, to try to invade part of America from an external source? So if Americans out there are worrying about external enemies, you haven't woken up, folks, to the reality of what it would take to logistically be an external force. Oh, the terrorists. What terrorists? They're freaking armed with Kalashnikovs, you morons. Wake up already to this charade being put forward by your FBI, CIA, Department of Homeland Security, your congressmen, etc. Guys, they are armed with Kalashnikovs. They have maybe some heavy artillery, but that heavy artillery only will reach a couple kilometers, guys. You're protected by two oceans. So the only enemies that the people of the United States should be focusing on are internal. Internal enemies, and you should be absolutely, I don't even have an adjective for that, but you should be overwhelmingly focused. Or you should overwhelmingly be focusing on. Yeah, I can speak English some days. That's great. But you should be overwhelmingly focusing on internal enemies inside of the United States. No, you don't need to worry about FedEx. This is a border control issue. That's a border control issue. That is an internal issue, but it's border control, everybody. You don't need to worry about sending 500 Marines off to Syria. Because even if you pulled everything out today, guess what? All those clowns running around inside of Syria right now, if you just stopped funding them, the Syrian army with the Russians, Hezbollah, and the Iranians, they'll clean it up for you. Don't worry about it. But why are you there? Oh, we're fighting. No, you're not doing crap, guys. You've been in Afghanistan for 15 years. It's worse than Vietnam, everybody. You don't have the casualties that we had in Vietnam. But it's a cluster F in Afghanistan. You've been there 15 years. Guys, let's admit it. These generals don't know what the heck they're doing. Really, they don't know what they're doing. When are you going to wake up to this? See, they can't win these wars because you cannot win what they're trying to fight. They're ideologically driven, but it's based on a bunch of Jewish nonsense. And that's where the real problem is that our entire military foreign policy is and has been driven by these neocon traitors, those enemies within. It's amazing, quite frankly, that after 15 years of failure, we still see Trump trying to put these people into places of power. I'm just amazed at it, quite frankly. And yeah, now they're talking about North Korea, North Korea, North Korea. You got the Iranians. They're like, you know what? Let's just goad the Americans into making a mistake. Because quite frankly, it's something like half. Even though you and we as the American people spend, actually, I guess it's the Federal Reserve, the Jewish bankers that do it because we don't pay them back yet. But the Jewish bankers are paying something like $560 billion a year to the U.S. military. $560 billion, half of their helicopters can't fly. But well, that's great. That's great. You guys are half of them. And Trump's out there saying, we've got to make America great again. Yeah, well, nobody's going to argue with the slogan, dude, but you know what? You're spending $560 billion. The increase alone that is being mentioned towards the U.S. military is 70% of the entire Russian military budget. That's just the increase. We want to increase our military by up to, again, 70% of the entire Russian budget, and we already outspent 60. Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. I understand we had some technical issues about talking through the break. I didn't hear the studio. I'm not a paranoid guy, and I don't like to play around with people and say, oh, you listened in on oh, oh. No, I don't do that type of stuff. I just don't do it, everybody. But what you have, let's see, you say you have science. We should be okay. We should be okay, everybody. I hope everything is okay. So anyways, please tell me, It's okay in the chat room. It is okay, correct? Okay. I believe we're okay now. We should be okay. Everything looks okay. Everything looks okay. Yeah, I said hi, Dennis. I just hope you guys can hear me okay in the chat room. Anyways, everybody. So anyways, for some reason, the laptop just resets everything to null. And it's like, but I've already debugged this a few times. It's happened to me before. So I knew what to do quicker this time. So anyways, good. It looks like everything is good. Joining me in the chat room, everybody, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That will get you in the door. We look forward to having you there, of course. And again, if you'd like to phone into the show, 1-347-688-2902. That's 1-347-688-2902. And we'll obviously love to take your calls. You know, I was talking about what was going on about Israel and the enemies, both without and within, and about how that related to this incident that I experienced inside of Pershing Square. Pershing Square, again, is a subway station in Los Angeles. By the way, welcome, everybody. Let me check. I think, how are we doing there, everybody? Good morning. I'm going to just check the numbers here. Yeah, it looks like the audience, you guys are pretty much settled in. Not too many have come. So, guys, welcome, everybody, to Inside the Eye Live, Saturday, March 11, 2017. The truth of the matter is, guys, what we understand in the West is that there really is at least there appears to be, and I believe there is, some type of warfare going on inside of the United States and more inside the U.S. than the West in general. But it definitely appears that we in the U.S. have some, we hope so anyways, we have some nationalists out there that are working hard to try to salvage what has become almost a death knell for America as a nation spiritually. And we do not want to really be going the way of the Soviet Union. You know, there's something about the art of deception. We've been talking about that the last few weeks. To 1629. That's right, 1629. There was a book written by Sir Francis Bacon called A New Atlantis, and a lot of the contemporaries of that day saw this as almost like a science fiction book, I think, because he talked about this mythical continent called A New Atlantis. And one of the things they talked about, you know, he said this, I'm going to kind of quote it here, "We have also houses of deceits of the senses where we represent all manner of feats of juggling, false apparitions, impostures and illusions and their fallacies. And surely you will easily believe that we have so many things truly natural which induce admiration, could in a world of particulars deceive the senses if we would disguise those things and labor to make them more miraculous. But we do hate all impostures and lies insomuch as we have severely forbidden it among our members." And then in 2001, you had a crop circle out inside of the UK, and it's depicted like this gray alien, and it was written in a binary code, like on a disc. And interesting enough, this exact same disc type pattern was found in a cave painting in Kyrgyzstan. So this theme, it's out there that I'm sharing here. And when they broke down the message of the disc, it said, "Beware the bearers of false gifts and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe there is good out there. We oppose deception." Conduit closing. Ding. My point is this. Whether or not this is a false message, meaning deception itself, or not, doesn't hide the fact that there is good working in the world out there. And it's very necessary. Like they say, the only thing that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good people to do absolutely nothing. So humanity as a creation, good and evil work through the human race. In other words, we have a choice. We can support that which is good on this planet, or we have a choice, per se, to support that which is bad. Now, in my case, when I made a decision to try to get information out about the cocaine dealing of LAPD back in 1996, well, at the same time, evil is operating through LAPD, and they're selling the cocaine and destroying the neighborhoods and people's lives. But, you know, we had a choice. We can do something or we could stay silent. But the only thing necessary, or the only thing evil needs in order to triumph relatively easily, is for good people to do absolutely nothing. And with all these plots and subplots going on out there in the world, the latest that we've really seen is this Vault 7, these 8,761 documents that have been published as part of what they're calling Year Zero, which is apparently a whistleblower organization. Well, the WikiLeaks is dubbing this as Vault 7. They're talking about the CIA's global covert hacking program. Well, you know, when you look at what's going on out there, we just had a mayor up in New Hampshire. He promised his constituents that he would flood his town with, quote-unquote, Syrian migrants, Syrian refugees, and he lost the election. Then he turns around and he wants to blame all of his constituents on the fact that he lost on a platform that the people did not want to hear about. Well, that is supposed to be what this Republican-style, Democratic-Republican system is all about. People are supposed to have a say in how they are governed. But when you look at what's going on up in Vermont, New Hampshire, they have this huge, or developing, I should say, heroin problem. Well, gee, you got a heroin problem, huh, guys? You've got the U.S. military guarding the poppy fields in Afghanistan. Who knows where this stuff is being refined and forwarded? Maybe it's Turkey. Maybe it's Syria, for all you know. Who knows where? But eventually this is making its way into Russia, into the United States, inside of Europe. And the CIA wants to tell us that they are, quote unquote, here to protect us. No, you're not here to protect us. You are here to protect your business interests. And quite frankly, a lot of those business interests, because it's all dark shadow stuff, deals with things like cocaine, heroin, and other illicit drugs. It's one of the most profitable markets in the world. The CIA knows this. That's why they don't want any competition. And governments know this. They're not calling it drug control for no reason, folks. They want to control it. They want to make sure that the money funnels into their hands and they are able to go on with their acts of terror across the world. You've got the CIA bypassing, now it's being referenced. I mean, most of us knew this already. It's just coming to the surface. But they, you know, they're saying that they can bypass WhatsApp and Telegram and Signal and some of these other social media platforms. And when you look at things like Google and Facebook, for instance, these appear to be basically front companies for intelligence operations anyways. Facebook being Mossad and Google Alphabet probably being linked to the CIA. The CIA is using techniques, according to Kim.com, to make cyber attacks look like they originated from enemy states. It turns DNC Russia hack allegations by CIA into a joke. In other words, what we've been saying so many years, the Israelis, Jewish people in general, they will focus on a particular idea and they will go out of their way to blame somebody else. We've known about these techniques, and no doubt with the CIA being linked to Jewish drug dealing, it makes sense that they would use the same tactics and techniques. But we do have good people. If this is legitimate information, we have good people out there working to get the various information out there. CIA's got something called an embedded devices branch, and they work on infesting or infiltrating smart TVs, transforming these TVs into microphones. And people have been talking about that. And there was a video floating the other day about, I don't know, it's a Google application or an Amazon application. Alexa, I think, is Amazon. Amazon, are you connected to the CIA? And the device is supposed to be programmed not to lie. And are you connected to the CIA? And the device goes silent. And ask again, do you know what the CIA is? Answers correctly. Now, are you connected to the CIA? It goes silent. It's programmed not to lie, this device. So after this floated, they corrected it. They sent an update patch to Alexa. And Alexa says, I work for Amazon. Well, we didn't ask you whether you work for Amazon, you morons that did this. We asked if you were connected to the CIA, not if you work for Amazon. What a bunch, again, these guys are morons. If you had, everybody, the power of the state, and I'm talking about you could do your own wiretaps, you could do your own renditions, you could do all the stuff that the state does to run its business. These people are so stupid, it would be really easy to break them apart. They're not that smart, everybody. And they hire a lot of stupid people because good people aren't going to be working for people that are openly doing something that is not right and proper for the human race. In other words, you can be a traitor to the human family, or you can be working with and trying to raise up the human family. And just as we saw before, these messages, you know, how there is something out there that despises deception. Well, that exists also. And people now are leaking information. Do you realize that the leaks alone, information receives something like 6,200,000, wow, that's probably not true, 6,226,000 or 6,228,000 retweets, 5,700,000 likes. See, the information is getting out there. .com added that Obama accused Russia of cyber attacks while his CIA turned all internet-enabled consumer electronics in Russia into listening devices. And guys, this is how stupid it gets and why you need to rein these morons in, because they are morons. Countries aren't stupid. They get what's going on. You know, I was at a place the other night. Actually, it wasn't the other and I last weekend, to be more truthful. And it's a son of a sheikh who's one of the wealthiest families here in Saudi Arabia. And he's building something, and I was visiting the site, and I got to meet him. And his phone rings. He's using a 2G phone from 10 years ago, a Nokia. If you look at certain people in certain areas of government or wealth, they're not using smartphones. They're using the old 2G phones because they're a lot more difficult to work with. It was asked, perhaps now with the new cell phones, you can't remove the battery anymore. Maybe that's because people were taking their batteries out, although there's still a sub-battery in there, everybody. But nonetheless, they were taking the batteries out, and maybe that was making a problem for these idiots who need to listen in on everything because they're just a bunch of perverts. And it doesn't get more complicated than that, guys. They just go out, and if they catch something that's interesting, whether it's sexual or something, they'll just go out of their way just to listen in because they're just idiots. And that needs to be exposed. Why are we allowing a bunch of idiots to sit there and monitor our private communications? Now, how many of you out there honestly are engaged in so big, such awesomely huge anti-government stuff out there? Gosh, none of us are. We just care about making our country and our people better off. And how that goes about is, again, we have our opinions what needs to be done, and others have their opinions as to what needs to be done. That's called freaking free flow of ideas. But you know, inside the government, inside these dark secret areas, They don't. They're like, they think they just know everything. They are God's gift to the entire universe. Sounds very Jewish to me, but that's how they think. These guys are out there hacking into phones or hacking into televisions. And you know what happens? Governments get it. And they say, you know what? Stop buying U.S. technology. Stop buying Cisco routers. Stop buying iPhones. Stop buying Motorola devices. You know, everybody thinks they're so smart. Stop buying Microsoft products. Just find ways to cut Microsoft out. Make sure that we create our own internal firewalls so that basically our information stays inside the country. Make sure that certain networks are designed that nothing leaves the border areas of our countries. So then you start to get these great barriers going up, like the Great Wall of China. And Iran developing their own system, and Saudi Arabia developing their own system, and the Russians contemplating doing the same. Why? Because a bunch of morons inside of these deep, dark state areas of the United States government just can't mind their own frickin' business and get a life. And it really comes down to that. They just can't go get a life. Their life revolves around somebody else. Oh, what's Mary doing today? Oh, Mary got up and she took the kids to school. And you've got FBI agents, they spend their whole freaking time just sticking their nose in other people's businesses. And they're getting paid, what, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 to do that? And then you wonder why they fight so hard to keep their privilege, because, hey, they're making a lot of money to be idiots. Guys, so at some point, this has to stop. You know, it's funny, when East Germany fell, the people actually took over the headquarters of the Stasi, and they got to see all the idiocy going on inside the Stasi. What an incredible waste of resources and time and talent archiving all this idiocy that these guys involved themselves in. So now what you've got going on, you've got Apple's iPhone, Google's Android, Microsoft Windows, Samsung TVs. They're all being turned into covert microphones. For what? So that some jackass, excuse the language, in Langley can listen to you about how you're talking to your Aunt Marie? Really? Is that what this is all coming down to? Oh, we're here to protect. No, you're not here to protect me. I don't need you to protect me. I need a smart person to protect me, not some classless lowlife sitting in some room somewhere because he's just a voyeur pervert. WikiLeaks is claiming that essentially the CIA has lost control of a majority of its hacking arsenal. They've lost control of it. That includes the malware they developed, the Trojans, the weaponized zero-day exploits, the malware remote control systems, and they've lost control of all of the associated documentation. And why did they lose control of it? Because it was cavalierly spread about all the contractors that were needed to develop it without the proper controls being in a place. And guess what? People got it. This is not right. This is being used against people that it should never be used for. And, well, good seems to work in funny ways sometimes, and it got released to us so we can start to look at it. So now what we're hearing is inside of America, you've got the NSA, and then you've got the CIA NSA, which is whatever they want to call it. And imagine how much money. Now, mind you, it probably doesn't cost you and the people here and me. It doesn't cost anything in taxes because they probably fund it by killing your families using the drug sales. Wouldn't be surprised at all. Would not be surprised at all. But you know, as people start to wake up to this, they say, oh, I don't need an iPhone. iPhone works with the CIA. That's why I've never bought an iPhone. I've avoided Samsung TVs because I've always known about the hack. Everybody has. At least anybody paying attention. CIA has all kinds of departments. They've got so many people working on this stuff. It makes like George Orwell look like a picnic. You have October 2014, the CIA was looking at infecting the vehicle control system used by modern cars and trucks. You don't think that has a bearing on things? Like I said, the enemies are within. These are enemies of the American people. See, the CIA could easily start to involve themselves in assassinating people, and that's probably what they did to Michael Hastings. And yet everybody wants to say, oh, well, if you're not doing anything bad, okay, fine. Everybody in the CIA, we need to know your name, address, and we need to just watch you 24/7 like you watch everybody else. And if you're not doing anything wrong, don't worry about it. But your entire life should be visible to us also. See, the problem here is we don't have a level playing field. The field needs to be leveled. Without a level playing field, how can you compete? It's like they're putting themselves as some major league baseball team, and they want to go play the local little leaguers. Then they want to declare, oh, we won. Yeah, look at us. Oh, boy. No, wasn't even a fight, buddy. In fact, you broke all the rules to even play the game, even though you're the big leaguers. My goodness. You got all the advantages in the world, and you still break the law. You break the rules. You know what? The little leaguers, they had 3 strikes. You were given 12. The little leaguers had to walk on 4 strikes, but you got to walk on the first one. The little leaguers had to run around the bag, but heck, you just walked from first to home and you said, I won. I don't have any admiration for these people because I've been a victim of these type of people. I understand it. What a bunch of scumbags. Yeah, you're here to protect us. Really? How about the hundreds of thousands of missing children? Who have you protected, you morons? Because you and I both know you ain't protecting nobody. You're covering your asses. That's exactly what this massive spy network is all about. It's not about protecting anybody but their own behinds. You know, have you ever heard of any success coming out of these types of people? Have you? You know, apparently, according to some of this information coming out, they're giving black passports to people under State Department cover. Yet, look what they do to people, to Americans out there, that they've targeted. Put them on no-fly lists. Who knows what they do to them? You have something called the Engineering Development Group. It contains 500 different projects. 500 projects. And these projects focus on penetration, infestation, which is implanting information on a computer, control, and then exfiltration, which is basically stealing the information. You know what? If anybody thinks this is all being used for protecting the American people, come on. Come on, wake up. You know what? If you can sit there and you've heard about your aunt is not getting a fair shake by your uncle and the CIA is part of the family or knows about it and he wants to help the aunt out, don't think for a second they just can't do it and they probably would. You're not talking about ethical people here at the end of the day. And don't assume you are. Never assume that things are ethical. When you can't create the proper conditions to catch people like 9/11, when you can't create the conditions to really effectively blow apart Jewish power structure in America, don't tell me you're one of the good guys. When you start really showing some progress, we'll start to listen to you. Now, I hear there's some progress. I hear there's lots of arrests going on, but I'm not convinced yet. I mean, it's too early in the game for anybody to make a decision for sure. There's something called Hive. Hive is a multi-platform CIA malware suite, and it has associated control software. It's customizable Windows, Solaris, MikroTik, and on and on. Yeah, who wants Micros? It's the fetch inside the intelligent, the politically. All right, welcome back, everybody. Fetch inside the eye live, intelligent media for the politically aware, right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Huge numbers today, everybody. Thanks for coming in and showing up. Join us in the chat from insidetheeyelive.com. That's insidetheeyelive.com, live chat. And that'll get you through the door. I have actually debugged just exactly all come through. And I had no idea that my music player, which is Audacity, I feed everything through Audacity, is controlling my speaker. So when I pot the music down for the breaks, after the breaks, I pot the bumper down. If I don't put it back up, I won't be able to hear the speakers. And I didn't realize that. So, hey, see, guys, it's not the NSA doing everything after all. Sometimes it's just the way the technology works, and you got to figure things out. Let's see. I don't know if you saw the news coming out of France, but my goodness, France is a basket case. Germany is a basket case. Germany, the legislature inside of Germany is so treasonous to the German people that even if you apply for, and you, mind you, guys, if you and I as, you know, white Christian Americans, I'm not Christian, but you kind of get where I'm coming from. If we were to just kind of go to Germany and declare, you know, we're refugees, you know, we're refugees. And some of us actually are refugees. We had to escape our own war from the CIA and our governments also. It's no different in America in some cases. And so if we were to go to Germany and just declare refugee status, and do you think we would actually get into the country? No, I don't think we could find the, we would be able to sneak in. I mean, most of us wouldn't try. But do you think we'd get to stay? And I don't think so, quite honestly. You know, what's happening in Germany is just unconscionable. They're saying, look, even after your asylum application has been denied, it's okay because you can stay anyways because the legislature is blocking deportation. So essentially, it doesn't matter. All you need to do is get to Germany, and the German government is doing everything in its power to ensure that there is a massive demographic displacement of the German people. And that's become so obvious. Same in France. You have a huge problem in France. Sweden is unconscionable, what's happening in Sweden. And these governments want to pretend like nobody's paying attention and we don't see what's going on, yet obviously we do. Marine Le Pen is obviously a nationalist inside of France, and she is basically in a dead heat in the polls for the presidential nomination of France, and that would be a huge, huge win for nationalists. Geert Wilders in Denmark continues to surge in the polls. Now, Geert Wilders is one of these guys. I don't know if you've been paying attention or not, but if you have, you'll see that there's been an attempt by Jewish nationalists to link themselves to Western nationalists and saying, hey, we're both in the same boat. You should support us and we should support you. But this entire line of logic fails to take into account that massive amounts of Jewish money is being used to destroy the West. And so this is like a red herring to me. You know what, you Jews that are trying to claim that you're in the same boat as us, no, you're not. We aren't funding your demise in Israel. We are funding to an inordinate amount to help you create your utopian state, which is still a hellhole, while Jewish organizations are funding the demise of Western civilization. So we're not on the same playing field. Quit trying to make it out to be. But Geert Wilders is one of these guys that is a rabidly pro-Israel politician. And you could make the claim that the same holds true for Donald Trump. You know, one thing I've noticed in the Twitter world, and again, you can follow me at Radio Itel. That's Radio Itel at Twitter. Are on Twitter, is that a lot of these Jewish groups those that are trying to distance themselves from the George Soros, the depraved lunacy left, as they like to call it, or at least I guess I like to call it. A lot of these guys, if you look at their profiles, they want to show themselves as being uber patriot or uber patriotic, over patriotic. There's people that claim to be helicopter pilots, for instance, and he's got his military thing. And then you've got another guy, he's out there and he's got like Secret Service and the presidential motorcade. And if you look at all of their imagery, they want to show themselves as being uber American patriots. But the second you try to put forward an America First agenda that does not put Jews as first in that agenda, they go absolutely Bolshevik ballistic on you. You're a Jew hater. You're this. You're that. It's like, you know what? Why can't you guys be civil? Maybe because you're just not a civilized people. You're really not a civilized people. And no matter how much you want to blend in with us, you'll never really become civilized. You'll never really. I mean, you'll sit there, and I see so many, and they sit in the trenches of the medical world, you know. They're doctors. Oh, that's so impressive. Yeah, how many kids did you destroy and maim with your vaccines, buddy? How much corporate welfare did you get because you get to control the medical distribution, and so therefore families are not allowed to go to anybody but you. And you wonder why people get angry and upset with the Jewish people. Jewish capital in general, really. Not just Jewish capital, but capital in general. But certainly that linked within the Jewish community. They are all about open borders, open borders, open borders. And the reasons for that are kind of simple. They can move capital from one nation to the next. Quite frankly, when you print the money, guys, it's not hard to go buy up countries. Think about it. Come on. You're printing the money. So it's very easy for you to go down to Mexico and buy it up. It's very easy for you to go to Thailand, buy it up. It's very easy for you to go to Malaysia and start buying up Indonesia, Sri Lanka. It's very easy because you print the money. And who's under control? We can't control how much money you even print and how much money you give away to your friends out there. But Trump, in America, he wants to start putting what they call a border tax on. And as we look at the border tax, the idea behind this border tax is, look, you have big capital, which are your big corporations, shutting down American business, American jobs, moving it to third world countries that have environmental controls. So essentially, they can go make the product for quite a bit less because there's no level playing field on this regard, ship it back to the United States and still make money, but that puts even more American workers out of business. So what they want to do is, to block that, they want to create what's called a border tax, a tariff. Now, it's interesting because it's okay for Jews, oftentimes, when they're unhappy with the country, to put a blockade on people, just unilaterally declare it, like they've done with Iran, like they're doing with Russia now, and they've done for Iran. Although Iran, I can understand, you took over our embassy, guys, but I can understand that. But you guys get it. We often hear in the political world the sanctions against certain countries. We hear it all the time. Jewish people, political organizations, really, they want to have this idea that it's our money, you play by our rules, or you don't play at all. And if we don't like the way you play the rules, play the game, we're just going to pick up our ball and we're going to go home. We're not going to let you play. That's what they did to Russia when the American/Jewish neocons decided to take over Ukraine, and the Ukrainians jumped for joy, but the people in the East weren't so happy, and the people of Crimea were even less so, and Crimea voted to go and return back to Russia. Well, that's not playing the game the way that certain Jewish groups out there that planned all of this mess wanted to play. So they picked up the ball And they went home, and then they put sanctions on against Russia. So they use the technique all the time. So the idea of a border tax, where we are going to tax companies who shut down their operations in the U.S., ship everything offshore, and then bring back the goods at a fraction of the cost to them, but at the same price to us, the American people. Well, guess what? That if we put that border tax on, it's no different than Jews countries. Now, these globalists, as they like to call themselves in a lot of circles, they're not too keen on stuff like that. So they start putting out their, through their press organs, various titles. New York Times, profitable pickups may be in crosshairs of Trump's border tax. Oh, Americans, you should be very fearful of the popular pickup trucks. No, just start making them in America, guys. Market Watch, Target, Gap, Best Buy, and other retailers going to Washington to oppose border tax. Well, who buys anyways at these companies anymore? What they want is to buy the goods exceedingly cheap, folks, ship them back to America and sell them at very high profit margins. And, of course, that goes into their shareholders. Reuters, retail CEOs head to Washington to try to kill the U.S. border tax. Automotive News, U.S. border tax could raise vehicle tax. Automotive News, U.S. Oh, I said that one. Wall Street Journal, border tax could upend global markets. And there's all kinds of these ideas out there about border taxes. Well, that's too bad. Quite frankly, that's too bad. Because what you have is a situation now in America where companies are essentially moving capital without any responsibility to the people who provided their success, which includes their employees. And hey, enough's enough. You want to leave the country? Okay, leave the country, but don't expect to come back and sell your goods to us for 10 cents or buy it for 10 cents on the dollar and ship it to us and sell it to us. It's at the same amount. Borders are good. We should have border controls. Try to ship your cars to Japan, everybody. You're not going to be able to ship your cars to Japan. Try to ship your cars to Germany. You're going to find that it's not so receptive. It's not a two-way street. Trade is never a two-way street. And when you've got like revelations like the CIA getting, I mean, we've all known about it anyways. It's not like this is, it's not like, I'm serious to me. This Vault 7 information, it's not even news. I mean, we've all known about this for a lot of years. It's just nobody had, quote unquote, the proof. But heck, we've known about this. Come on, guys. We've known about it. Just, we didn't, who cares if we could prove it or not? Give me the instruments of state and I'll go prove it to you. It's not that big a deal. It's there. Common sense, 101. So essentially what's happening is we've got a situation going on now where on some layers, we see Donald Trump delivering for the American people. We'd like to see somebody like Marine Le Pen get in and start delivering for the French people. Geert Wilders is rabid pro-Israel, but so's Trump. Obviously, though, if he can produce for the Danes, that would be good. Germany needs help. Hungary, it's interesting if you try to break into Hungary now. Hungary has trained 3,000 border guards, and these guys are martial artists. They're trained in martial arts, and they must know how to assemble their weapons blindfolded. That's right. So Hungary is fighting. The Poles are fighting. But the Poles, being the Poles, and they have a reputation for not being the brightest people in the world, and I know I've taken heat for that, but guys, come on. You're going against a nationalist Russia. There's no reason for a nationalist Russia and a nationalist Poland not to get along. But they don't because of history. And the history that divides the two is your Jewish problem. Yet neither side wants to look at that. You know, it's funny. You can't look at European history without also looking at the Jewish equation. You know, the whole point to Israel, everybody, was to solve this Jewish problem. That was the whole point to it. The idea wasn't to just create the country of Israel and then have our country still run by Jews and destroy it even further. That wasn't the plan. That was always Jewish plan, but it wasn't the plan when it all got put into motion. All right, join me in the chat room. Inside the Eye Live. That's right, Inside the Eye Live.com. Click on the live chat. It's buzzing in there, everybody. It's actually kind of impressive. Haven't seen numbers like this in a while. But guys, it's filled up. Give me a call, 1-347-688-2902. That's 1-347-688-2902. Hour number three is going to be about Philo-Semitism, and you're going to want to stay tuned for that because it's rant material coming up in hour number three. So definitely kind of like if you're like need some time, go get yourself a beer or something. If you're late, get yourself comfortable because hour number three is kind of like going to be kind of intense. So you're going to want to stay tuned for hour number three. You know, I've noticed a lot coming in now. I watch a lot of hockey. You guys know I'm just going to break off and kind of break free. We only got a couple minutes here. Yeah, it looks like I got like maybe 7 minutes, 6 minutes. But, you know, I love hockey, everybody. I'm a big hockey fan, and I just find it to be a beautiful sport. And one of the reasons I like hockey is because of what I call chivalry. And this is something that is really unique to Western civilization. And I watched a game between the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Winnipeg Jets, and it was a very vicious game. And what had happened is there had been some pretty nasty things done in the previous game, and there was a lot of bad blood between the two teams going into this week's game. And what happened was there was a fight first between this Malkin guy on the Philadelphia and somebody else from the Winnipeg. And they fought, and Malkin absolutely got decked, and he understood he had to fight. There were things going on, and he got knocked down. He took it in stride. The Winnipeg Jets guy that pretty much beat him down into the ice, after it was all said and done, tapped him on the shoulders like, okay, we're cool now. They went their ways. They sat out their time, and they came back and played a good, hard, tough game. Then there was a secondary fight that went on, and this fight went on for like 3 minutes. It was a doozy. But the same thing, everybody. Once we resolve our differences, we have as part of our nature, this Western civilization, we have this ability to say, okay, let's let it go. Now let's get back to the business at hand. In other words, chivalry is what divides the West pretty much from the world. Now, mind you, places like Japan have their own form of chivalry, which I kind of enjoy. China, not so much so. Quite honestly, I haven't seen it. Korea, I'm not all that familiar, but I know Japan has its own form of chivalry, its own form. But in the West, we have this beautiful idea called chivalry. And what we've created with this, because we create fairness amongst ourselves at the end of the day, we're always at war. We're always going to be competing. But there is still the chivalry. And it's not going to go. Actually, hopefully we can keep it from going away. Saw another thing on YouTube. And then I think we're going to head into a break. So this is the last story before the break, everybody. It happened in Spain. And what they did, what they showed was a little girl. There was a guy, a musician, and Ben watched this video as much. I saw it on YouTube. This little girl goes up to this street musician, apparently a street musician anyways, and puts some money into the hat, and he starts to play. And then a little bit later, a few bars later, somebody else comes out to play. And then a few bars later, more people. And by the time you came out, you had an entire orchestra playing some 17th century music, and it was absolutely enthralling. You had crowds around this orchestra. You had and people just they loved it. I'm thinking that's the West that I believe in. This idea where we create harmony, we create beauty, we create structure and order. This is something that Jews as our eternal enemies they despise. If you want to look at what Jews can produce, it's called a brick wall. Go to Israel. I mean, you don't need to, but look at all these people banging their heads on a brick wall. That's the beauty of Jewish culture. The beauty of Jewish culture is bread that's unleavened. It's flat like a cracker. Yeah, that's beautiful. Whoa, awesome, buddy. Just awesome. See, there's no beauty in that culture. We must maintain our own without their help. It's The Fetch, Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. He went to Russia this week to complain and whine like a baby, like most Jews do, it seems, when they don't get their way, somehow, you know, Hezbollah and Iran are getting a foothold inside of Syria to fight Israel. And since they are there to fight, obviously, Daesh that Israel created, I guess they are there to fight Israel. So it's like, dude, sometimes you're just kind of stupid. You should shut up. But that's not the way it works sometimes. You're going to have to watch Syria, though, guys, because U.S. troops are in there. You're looking at a possible partition of the country like they've tried to do inside of Iraq, you know, which is completely pointless at the end of the day for U.S. interests. But it certainly does divert a lot of resources from Syria because it's no longer a united country. And so that's going to help, obviously, with Israel and their plans for a greater Israel, perhaps. But we'll have to watch that. All right. Join us in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button. That'll get you in the door. And, of course, give me a call if you'd like, 1-347-688-2902. That's 1-347-688-2902. Now, I don't know if you've been following the debate in the UK, but you've got I suspect it's a very small cell of Jewish operatives working, but they're making a huge impact right now, in public perception about anti-Semitism inside of the UK. And it's a full-on court. It's really become a full-court press almost. Inside of the UK, where Jews are looking to gain political favor, curry favor, relative to this idea called anti-Semitism, rising anti-Semitism. But it's become so obvious now to everybody that eventually, look, it's going to either be you are with the British people or you're with the State of Israel and the Jewish people. In other words, Jews really seem to be working overtime inside of the UK to destroy whatever goodwill they have and can generate into the future. Now, this same situation exists inside of the United States now, but the blowback is still off into the fringes like this show, but it's out there. Guys, it's out there. People, they get it. They're just still afraid to talk. They don't want to get in trouble, whatever the case. But it's out there. People are getting it. Day by day, they're actually getting it. In Canada, it's not. They're really not getting it. Canada is maybe lost. Maybe the friendship between Americans and Canadians is going to go the way of history, and all thanks to Jewish power. But what I find amazing is that even as we witness all of these moves by Jewish people inside of the UK, inside of Germany, I mean, inside of Germany, my goodness, you've got this guy Scholz. He's part of their parliament. And he says straight openly, I mean, come on, straight up, publicly, in my mind, the only reasons that Germans and Germany exist is to ensure the survival of Jews and the State of Israel. That's a politician, folks, on the national level inside of Germany. Now, they're not so bold. I mean, the Germans are like hamstrung. They can't even fight back hardly. It's pretty much the same in America, though. I mean, it's not that bad, let's be honest. We can talk, and it's gotten a lot more open. But when we talk about Jewish power in America, it amazes me that Jews want the benefits of being like this uber super genius, don't criticize us, we are the greatest people on the planet mentality. They want all the benefits that come with that, but they don't want to deal with the fact that they are abject failures once they rise into these positions of power. The idea that they're failures, everybody, isn't new. They failed every time they have set up shop in Western nations. When you hear about Jews being kicked out of 200 or 109 countries 200 times, the most recent, I believe, being essentially Russia. It's warranted for one, and you're actually witnessing this very same event in history today. You're witnessing it. You're seeing why these ancestors of old were so anti-Jewish. Understand that Jews want to be seen as being noble and wonderful people, that they have power, or they have wealth and they have influence, and gee, they're just so great. You know, why shouldn't you just love us for who we are? That's their internal thinking. They want to brag about how they are Judaifying the entire land. They brag about it. They want you to appreciate, look at us. We have so much money now. We have so much power. And look what we're doing for you. We are liberating you. Now you can take your daughter to a bathroom in Target, and we're going to have a transgender freak there for you. Isn't that great? We Jews are so wonderful. And they try to go out and they try to use this idea of the Holocaust. Holocaust. It never ends. Well, you know what? I don't know what the numbers are, but we Americans, we in the West, using Jewish ships, I guess, we brought quite a few black people over from Africa. And now there's, 40 million Africans in America of African descent? And Jews want to talk about, see, the white man, you suffered under the white man, and we suffered under the white man. But again, you know, this consonant dissonance, it's like, yeah, first of all, there's more Jews than ever before. We in the West lost 50 to 100 million of our people on behalf of a Jewish war. When the war started. And today in America, there's 40 million people from African descent inside of America. Where's the Holocaust against black people? I don't see it. Do you see it? In fact, I'd say that the black population has benefited enormously from Western largesse. You know, this higher moral standard, Jews like to talk a lot about how we Jews are held to a higher moral standard than the rest of the world. Well, I guess since you sell yourselves as being morally superior, intellectually superior, business acumen superior, well, shouldn't you then be held to a higher standard? Oh, but on this they want to back off. Oh, no, that's anti-Semitic. And when you question their intellectual prowess, what do they roll out? Oh, well, look how many Nobel Prizes we've won. How many have you won? See, these are all tools that they use to impress upon us that they are intellectually, morally superior to the rest of us. They want to talk about the human rights of others. They want to talk about the crimes of others. You know, there were only 2,000 black people lynched in America since the Civil War, lynched, 2,000. And knowing the American people as I do, there were probably reasons why thing about white people in general is that, my experience is that we're generally very easygoing, but once you trigger everything, push comes to shove, the shove comes back. And that's not to say that there weren't any innocent victims in those 2,000 people. I would never claim that. But while Jews want to talk about this, they want you to deny and not even know that their henchmen killed between 20 to his estimated 60 million Russians. But a minimum of 20 million. I know Solzhenitsyn puts it much higher. We want to always, I should say Jews often want us to view this world in this odd dichotomy where we are always bad and they are always good. And they want to then claim that it's anti-Semitic when we even see a hint of who these people really are. They want to fight us when we mention Jewish power in Hollywood. Yet here they are in the New York or the Los Angeles Times in 2009 bragging about just how much power and how they control Hollywood. So why? I've never understood this about Jewish society. Why is it okay for Jews to talk, but the rest of us can't talk? Think about it. Why? And I don't care if you're Jewish and you're listening out there. Why is it that you guys can brag about all this, but you don't want anybody to talk about it? Because I'll tell you what, there comes a time, and this is one of those points in history now, where you're going to meet up against an adult and an adult. Now, I get Jewish power. It's sadistic. It's overwhelming at times. It's merciless. It holds back nothing. It's vindictive. It's cruel. We see it all the time, folks. It's not like you don't hide it from us. I mean, we see it all the frickin' time. But hey, at some point in time, you have to understand there's how many of you and there's how many of us. And even though you've killed off, 100 million of us plus last century alone, there's still a lot more of us than there are of you. So what's your strategy? You want to flood our countries with some of the most vile riffraff that is even here on the planet, and you expect us to be able to tolerate and integrate it and not look at within the Jewish community who is aiding and abetting this type of behavior. You think we didn't notice Israeli groups flown in from Israel, going to Italy, and literally welcoming Africans ashore, sub-Sahara Africans ashore, onto the Italian shores? You think we didn't notice that? Yet, every time we mention these types of issues, you want to claim it's quote-unquote anti-Semitism. Well, how many Europeans or people of European descent do you find on the shores of the Mediterranean welcoming a bunch of sub-Sahara people who you'll never be able to integrate onto Israeli Jewish shores? See, you want to play a double game here. You want to impose upon we in the West your ideal. You don't want to accept that there's always a backlash to your ideas. You've got all these brainwashed puppets going on in Hollywood. See, we've kind of figured it out. We've known it for a long time, quite frankly, but it's becoming more vocal now. Jewish power rests upon their money. They curry favor within their own groups. They will support Jewish businesses before they will support any others. They will take from other businesses, but they won't support other businesses. When we look at the retail distribution in the United States, we see that if you want to go talk to a large distributor to get into the retail sector of America, what's the first thing they often will ask you if it's a food product? Is it kosher certified? Really? It's a great product, but is it kosher certified? Do you really think that the vast majority of us Americans give a rat's you-know-what about whether something is kosher certified? In fact, we find kosher food and kosher ideals and everything about it repulsive and would do anything to avoid it? Yet you don't want to put it in the stores unless we first pay your rabbis. But you don't want to admit that that's really the game here. You want to, oh, well, you'll get more favorable coverage in the stores. Why? Because you control what goes on the stores. But you don't want us to notice that. See, so there's unfairness in the retail sector. There's unfairness going on because you're favoring those businesses that pay your rabbis first. The truth of the matter is that Jewish people are some of the most hysterical people inside of the United States. The second they see something and they catch a whiff that people know what's going on, what do? They scream Nazi. They scream closet Hitler lover. They scream racist. They scream xenophobe. They scream homophobe. It never stops. Yet, here we are. You've been doing it for, 100 years now. We're just all these evil-loving Hitlerites in your eyes. You don't care about who we really are. You don't care about what we really believe in. You don't care about what we want for our family. You don't care about our societies. You don't care about our country even. All you care about is that we get cast into this evil little mold that through the programming of mainstream media, you can get us shunned within our own societies. And that strategy has worked for quite a number of years, 100 years now. But the problem remains. The goals of Jewish power is the destruction of Western civilization. It's really no more complicated than that. Right now, the Judaification of the Western world, it's like the law of the land, as someone put it in an article called Philo-Semitism is more dangerous than anti-Semitism, at least in today's modern world. You see, anti-Semites, you can pigeonhole, but if we like Israel too much and we become aware of the Jewish people, that's a huge problem. We're told by the media, books, TV shows, school curriculum, news coverage, that, hey, Jews are the greatest people on planet Earth, and there's nobody better than these people. Yet no matter what criticism we lobby against the Jewish people, it's often met with this, often it's rabid, it's virulent, it's hostile, it's almost universal within Jewish political power structures. And what we notice is that this flow of information, this flow of ideas is chokehold. It's held by Jewish power. But like any dam, and those of you who live in California, you saw what happened up in Oroville. Any cracks in the structure of a dam can be catastrophic to the entire structure of the dam. To those of us who are working to raise the people up, to bring awareness to people, to give people hope to continue to strive and succeed even in the face of what appears to be an overwhelming odds, I should say. We know that this dam that is artificial, created by this Jewish power structure in the West, it's leaking everywhere. And yes, they try to shore it up with laws here and assaults there and attacks here, but it's leaking everywhere. we must take a look now, because we don't see Jews backing off, even though it's obvious that people in the West are pissed. It's obvious to all of us. They're upset in Sweden, but the government, Jewish controlled, is holding everything back. That's the dam. It's obvious that Germans are starting to get pissed off. But the power structures, I'm talking about the media, the school system, the government are trying, they're working cohesively to try to hold back the dam, to try to prevent the leaks from really springing out and becoming catastrophic. They couldn't do it in Hungary. Hungary, they can't salvage. The Hungarians have figured it out. The Italians, French, forget it. I've never had confidence in the French. Understand that for us Americans, we Americans often joked in school growing up that Americans always have to bail out the French. But there's no bailing out the French on what they've got themselves into this time. This is a problem that they're going to have to deal with on their own. You can't expect American troops to come over and say, hey, you're going to have to clean house somehow. You just can't expect that. This isn't a tactical thing Americans can do, so you French are going to have to deal with this. Much of America remains asleep, let's be honest. Much of America is blind to the dangerous support that the Christian right in America gives to the Jewish state. You've got so many problems with the Jewish community relative to Israel. We have veterans in America, homeless, hungry, dirty, not able to clean themselves, no place to sleep. Yet America's Jewish population, almost in one voice, says, let's give $3 billion plus to the state of Israel. Let's write off tens of billions of dollars more in taxes that Jews would otherwise be paying the national treasure so that we can basically support Israel over America. We should ask ourselves, why are donations to the state of Israel considered tax deductible in America? That makes no sense. See, Jews have a paranoia, and we need to play on it. We need to draw it out. We need to make it irrational. We need to toy with this paranoia. See, if you are in the kitchen, as my mom used to say, and you can't take the heat, you get out of the kitchen. Well, Jews want power. And I get it, because if you're a type of people that are working to destroy your host nation, you better get and strive for as much power as you can. And that's exactly what Jews are doing. But they're paranoid, and they have a right to be paranoid. Let's be honest. See, they have pegged it in some ways correctly. They understand that any criticism of Jewish power, any elevation of just what is this power into the light of day, it has the propensity through history to begin to snowball. And they understand that better than you do, perhaps, and certainly better than those who are just asleep, going about their business every day, doing what they do, hoping for the best for their family, etc., not realizing the whole time that there is a deadly game in play in Western civilizations. Jews have always been a minority. They're always going to be a minority because it's a draconian, sick, perverted society at the end of the day. It's a sadistic society. It treats humanity in a manner that belittles the spirit, the human spirit. It's very belittling. It's natural, quite frankly, knowing their behavior through time, for majorities of various countries to be wary of this minority group. And In fact, in the start of the American experiment, you had leading politicians talking about the dangers of allowing Jewish power into America. The Holocaust, it's been a huge enabler of Jewish power. It's straddled the West with this artificial guilt. This artificial guilt needs to be absolutely destroyed. But any sense of destroying, any efforts at bringing rational discussion to the table, which is what we in the West are often all about, are stymied. In fact, just this week, Jewish power in the UK managed to get Amazon.co.uk to drop three books about quote-unquote revisionism and thus denying the West information it needs to be informed about a decision, or to make an informed decision, I should say, about what has been going on the last 70 years. Jews know that if we get information and the guilt, and should the guilt go away, their game becomes much more difficult to play. This taboo against bad-mouthing Jews, it's even deeper than the Holocaust. I mean, my goodness. I've seen, even in Saudi Arabia, everybody, the taboo of talking about Jews is like irrational. I'm like, you don't have any Jews here. Why are you so afraid of them? And yet people, in other words, there is something spiritually about this that we should be aware of and come to terms with. Nobody outside of America, well, I shouldn't say nobody, but certainly a lot of people outside of America, they're quite aware of Jewish power in America. They see it. They kind of laugh about it. They think Americans are stupid because they allow Jews to run roughshod over American interests. Do you realize that 5 million or more, perhaps as many as 10 million Ukrainians died under Jewish hands? Do they have guilt for that? I don't think so. It's a fetch. Back with the final half hour inside the iLive, intelligent media for the politically aware. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the fetch. Final half hour inside the iLive, intelligent media for the politically aware, right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Again, listeners sponsored and supported. So make your way over to freedomslips.com again and do our part as inside the iLive team here to support the network, keep the network alive, up and running. We appreciate your time and efforts at doing something like that. Talking about Jewish power here in America and their collective paranoia here for the final half hour. Join me in the chat room, InsideTheEyeLive.com. That's InsideTheEyeLive.com. Click on the live chat button, or you can give me a phone call, 1-347-688-2902. That's 1-347-688-2902. And, of course, we always look forward to your calls. We'll put you right on the air. And so feel free to give a call in. You know, we talk about this idea in America that, you shouldn't criticize a minority. You know, we can't criticize the Jewish people. And Jews are saying, because if you do criticize the Jewish people, it might result in another Holocaust. But the real issue here is it's not just that... Connect? Yeah, it's connected there. Okay, I think you're just hang on there. Just hang on there, anyway. But, keep this in mind, everybody. Failure to criticize the idea of another quote unquote Holocaust by criticizing their power brings about this reality that you might end up with another Bolshevik. The Bolshevik ended up in the deaths of, some say, as much as 40 million Russians. So what do you want? You want to it doesn't matter what you do to these guys. You know, it doesn't matter whether you praise them day in, day out. You're always going to get criticized. You're always going to get lambasted because you're not good enough or you're this or that. It's not like even if you decide to leave them alone that you're going to be left alone. So understand there comes a price for your silence, because the goal, the end game, is the destruction of the West. And it's impossible at this stage, unless you're completely brain dead, to not see this as this game plan plays out. Joining us from Hawaii, 808 Free and Awake, welcome to Inside the Eye Live.
Hey, Fetch.
Hello.
I'm coming to you live from Vault 7.
Vault 7?
Yes.
Well, you know, I hope they have some cheese, crackers, and salami down there, at least, you know?
Right, and the gefilte fish.
Well, gefilte fish. I've never had gefilte fish in my life. I opened it once. I gave it to my cat, and it ran away. I said, all right, that's all I need to know. It's not fit right for human consumption.
How do they tolerate it?
You know, I don't know how they tolerate it. Isn't there a Purim holiday coming up where they celebrate mass murdering people again?
Yeah, but this goes unreported or unrecognized, you know?
Yeah, it's like all of their holidays celebrate killing everybody. You know, right. Passover about killing, like, all the Egyptian firstborns. Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I'm going to gear up to go celebrate that one. Purim is another massacre. It's like everything they celebrate is about massacring non-Jews. It's like, you know, wake up, guys. It's kind of like bred into their religion.
Right. Their religion seems to be fueled by genocide, you know? All these genocidal events. You know, that they constantly
refer to. It really is. It's a death cult at the end of the day, and it's not. Come on, it's barely in the scope of humanity here. It's not even a religion. It's a cult, because there's only about 10 million of them. This is nothing. This is a very small number. This is more of a cult than anything else. But of course, it's obviously practiced within the Western world. You know, within the elites. You know, they kind of like their DNA has made them kind of Jewish, as somebody said last week. Right. It was what you got for us. How are things over in Hawaii right now?
Pretty decent. I think the weather's going to be nice today, so I'm going to get on out there and maybe even hit the beach. It's been a long time.
I was thinking today, I actually made the comment today, I need to go to Hawaii because I'm so tired of the desert, you know. I need to get to Hawaii or something and just go out and enjoy the surf, the sun, the bikinis.
Oh, yeah.
And not the birthday.
Glad to have you.
Yeah, and it would be just like a nice way to just like chill out for a while, because I'm starting to get tired of the desert, folks. It's kind of a tough life. I'm not a desert guy, you know, not wasn't ever a desert guy in Los Angeles, because we had the deserts in L.A. too, everybody. L.A.'s a desert town at the end of the day. But I'm getting tired. I want to get to some ocean and enjoy some nice surf and some fresh negative ion.
Change of scenery.
You know, they say that the Middle East has some of the worst chi on the entire planet.
What do you mean? Chi as in the Chinese energy system?
Energy, yeah. They say that the Middle East has some of the worst chi on planet Earth.
Wow.
I believe it. I believe it because the desert and such, there's no negative ions. There's nothing to kind of freshen the air. You know, you go up to Seattle, you got all the pine trees with the ions. Add in the surf against the granite, and you got even more negative ions. It's a very healthy environment, but you come here, and it's dust, and more dust.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah. Well, you know, I think the message today is that the people of the world, they're just going to have to wake up, you know, from this, as you put it, philosemitic hypnotic trance that we're all in, or that they're in.
Yeah, exactly. Because this article, which I'm kind of using as a framework to discuss this, not that I need it. I could probably do it better on my own, quite frankly, but I'm just like trying to use it. You know, without criticizing this, folks, you see what's happening. You're having your countries overrun. You're having rapes of the women in your society. You've got now these axe attacks, you know, going on in Dusseldorf and other train stations. It's like, come on, guys. What do you need for us to just say, and you need to realize that these people are not your friends. The enablers of this insanity are not your friends. And the enabler wars start deep within the Jewish community. And they've admitted it. So what do you need us to don't talk about anti-Semitism. Guys, you're in an existential war for Western civilization, and a lot of people just don't get it.
And why is it so important to be liked by them? You know, it's better to concentrate on their own survival rather than worrying about if Jews approve of them or not.
Well, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I really don't. State. Yeah, and hopefully, and listening to you will wake people up. Hopefully, you know, more and more, and you can just put an end to this nonsense.
Yeah. You know, I think we do a good job here. Honestly, I think we do a good job at being professional about it. We're not childish. We're not trying to be crazy. You know, we bring an intellectual slant to it, and we hope and are pretty confident that it is being received, and people do appreciate the effort that we're doing here. So, it's like going to church every Saturday. You know, you come to Inside the Eye Live, and we try to keep you fired up for another week till next week.
Right, exactly. Yes. Two things.
Yes.
You mentioned Hawaii. First thing, Hawaii is suing, I think it's Donald Trump, for his stance on Muslim immigration into this country.
Why would Native Hawaiians and anybody in Hawaii care about bringing these type of people to your land?
Exactly. We can barely take care of them.
They can't handle your country, your part of the world.
Yeah.
They can't handle women running around in bikini tops and shorts, because I'm sure I would see that if I was in Hawaii. They couldn't handle. So what do you want to bring this over there for?
Right. I don't know why it's their concern. So, I mean, it's just a backlash against Trump, I guess. Any way to spite him.
I would dig deeper. I would say, okay, who are these people actually behind the lawsuit? They have names, they have addresses, they have organizations. Who exactly is driving this lawsuit? I would be looking that way. And you know what? As they always say on Twitter nowadays, every effing time when you look in behind the scenes, you're going to find some Jewish organization behind it.
Right.
And but this is what needs to be done. Screw the fact that Hawaii is doing it. First of all, guys, those of you listening, trust me, you can't integrate what is here into Hawaiians. Hawaii, these people have absolutely nothing in common with Hawaii's culture, native or its European / non-native, non-native immigrants to the islands. There's just no way to integrate it. So why would you bother wasting your resources to sue Trump about this state?
Right. That's one-sided proposition, because they're not going to assimilate.
No.
They're going to build their numbers and take over. It's what they do. We can see that in Europe. Yeah.
You know, I hate to say it, but I agree with it. And I'm saying we should adopt their immigration policies, lock, stock, and barrel.
We should go to their countries?
No, we should adopt. No, adopt their policies, lock, stock, and barrel.
Elaborate.
Well, you know, if you want to come to our countries, you're going to need a sponsor. If we can't find that person, we're going to take the sponsor and we're going to put them in jail.
Oh, you mean the policies that they have in place when you try to immigrate to their country. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. If you bring a person over to your country here and that person causes a crime and we can't find that person, then we might just go to your house and we'll take you, because you sponsored that person and you guaranteed that that person was good to the government. We're going to put you in jail till we can find that person.
Right. You vouched for this person, so you'll suffer the consequences.
You vouched for that person, and obviously you didn't. Yeah, exactly. So this type of action goes on over here. So obviously, since you have a limited population base, you can only sponsor so much. Then you have your major corporations that can sponsor a lot of people, and that's a different story. But for a private citizen to come over without a corp company to back them, you can't come.
And how could they use the anti-Semitic argument when Semitic countries are employing the same policies? You're just duplicating what they're doing.
I think Israel. Yes, exactly. So just adopt their policies. I'm not saying you have to be an idiot about it. There's no reason why we can't allow immigration for the schools. It's a net export for us, even though they're paying so much, they're destroying our school system, quite frankly, because we're subsidizing a bunch of idiots slash called Jewish educators by charging these foreigners. Dry Saudi is spending like $220 million a year on Western American education. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
$220 million a year is what Saudi Arabia spends in U.S. colleges every year.
Oh, okay. By going, yeah, there's the immigration policies. Okay. Again.
Well, but that, yeah, but again, that $220 million, although it's great for American colleges, who's it benefiting? A lot of stupid, moronic Jewish educators.
Right, yes. And they're being indoctrinated, you know, throughout that whole process. Right. The other thing.
Well, people get it. They come. Yeah.
Yeah. Is Hellstorm one of the books that was taken off or banned by Amazon? Okay, I'll research it on my own. I was just wondering.
I don't think it was Hellstorm. I think it had to do with revisionism.
Okay. Well, at least that's still out there.
Something about the Holocaust itself. Hellstorm is not about the Holocaust. Hellstorm is about what happened to the German people.
No,
I don't think it would be, because that's not what was, I heard it was about the Holocaust revision. Right.
But it does put the Jewish people in an unfavorable light. At least they're controllers. The Hellstorm.
I mean, they're in an unfavorable light. Yeah, but they're in an unfavorable light regardless. So it's just continuing
it
to happen.
Matter. Yeah, you have to ban all the books.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, you know, they want to change the Merchant of Venice. They want to change our literature from the 1600s. Well, they sucked back in the 1600s. Come on. You know, had Martin Luther talking on Jews and their lies in the 1600s. So it's not like we don't know. I mean, this is a historically well-documented system in play. The Russians have a very rich history of what Jewish people did to the Russians and what would happen if they ever came to power, and it proved to be true. There was a Bolsholocaust. I mean, there was tens of millions of people killed by Jewish people, and that's exactly what they're trying to do to the West now.
Right, and that's what Hellstorm references. You know, they were a Bolshevik insurgents that basically took over.
Correct.
Yeah.
No, Germans lost more people after the war than before the war, okay? Or during the war. So what's that tell you?
And they're still
paying
today.
Nobody hears about that. And they're still paying today for a crime that, quite frankly, they never committed.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, so that's, I don't know, we just have to change our way of thinking and get wise to what's going on.
Well, I think it's happening. I believe it's happening. I always have confidence. It's not nearly as dark today as it was 5 years ago. You know, we've been doing this 6 years, man. If you can imagine, we've been doing Inside the Eye Live. We're on our final year of the sixth year. In other words, we're in our fifth. We're in our sixth year. No, 2000. Wow, I think we've been doing this 6 years now. Almost 6 years. We started in 2011.
Right.
And in 2011, it was a whole different time. And, you know, I wanted to say this also, guys, because I've gotten a lot of criticism, especially from females, believe it or not. Really, from females, because I had married a Chinese gal. And, you know, this is, guys, it was 1991, the 1989. The dynamics of 1989 are not the dynamics that you are dealing with today. It's a whole different world out there. If things would happen today, obviously it's a different story. You know, sometimes people are so critical because it doesn't fit their idea of what happens today. Guys, 1989, you guys weren't even, half of you complaining, weren't even born yet.
Right. The world was a different place.
You know what
place.
I mean? A lot of these young gals, I find it's even funny. The women are actually angrier that the fact, you know, well, this fetch guy, he had a Chinese wife and he's got a half Chinese son and it's not the way it works. Well, hell, you know what? We've been at this before you were even born.
Right. Well, what's and the yet, issue? With the Chinese in particular.
Because in the world of demographic warfare, you've got the hardcore people that do not allow for any intermarriage between other people. They're hardcore.
Yeah.
So therefore, if you're white, you must be with white. You know, you.
Yeah.
There's no give and play about the natural order of things. In other words, you have this radical side of it. And I'm not faulting it. I think it's necessary for them to have this mentality. But I find them folly because they kind of piss people off that are their natural allies. Even my son is their ally.
Right.
You know, he's their ally. He said, even though I benefit from the hybrid relations out there, the hybrid society right now, I support all of these people because I think they're right. See, so you've got all these allies, and all you're doing is just pissing people off because you're so full of yourself about what needs to be done that you don't look at reality.
Exactly. And
that's something that's another step another issue that, you know, we don't have time to always deal with. But I saw something the other day targeting me about how, you know, well, this guy, he's this, and that's not how it's done. I'm like, you know what, moron? I want to say bitch, you know, because it was a girl, a gal. You know, because it's like, you know, you're talking about an issue that happened in 1989. It was a whole different world. Hell, I'm spending half of my time in Asia. You know what I mean? I'm spending all my time with the Japanese, the Chinese, the Koreans, the Singapore, because that's my job.
Hey, you don't have to tell me. I've been in Asia, and there are some beautiful, enchanting women there. So I could see anybody falling for any of them.
Exactly. And the fact of the matter is, if you people can produce a child with the drive and the work ethic that we have, okay, then go knock yourself out. Because like someone said, you know, oftentimes these children are more westernized than the Western children are today.
Right. There's always going to be a certain amount of blending. You know, you're not going to, everybody's not going to be in a pure state, you know, of racial composition.
Exactly. That is our point. But the point here is the values obviously are very important to those of us who are from the West. I mean, these are our values.
That's the key. We should align ourselves based on common values and not so much race. I mean, you know, it's fine to want to maintain your race and see it perpetuate. That's, you know, I respect that. But it shouldn't be the only criteria. Do you share the same values that I do? I mean, that's really what's important. You know, because we all share this planet together, right?
Well, exactly. It is one big human family. And I'm seeing just now, I just got word that we have a update that telephone calls have been coming in. I you know what I mean? This show's become kind of a popular telephone call-in show. I see that Frank has called, Vera has called, among a couple. We apologize, guys. We just did not see those calls.
So it seems like Skype's the only way to reach you.
Well, yeah, through Skype, not through the telephone lines. And that is that we had these problems before, and we apologize, but no, these calls are not getting through to me. But the switchboard has commented that you've had a lot of calls. Are you not seeing them? No, we're not. We have like 1 minute to go. Are you watching the basketball?
No, I'm not. I haven't been, you got to get me up to speed next week.
I was just curious, and I knew I had to blow because the show was done, and definitely it's done. All right, everybody, thanks for the call.
Get on Skype, everyone. Later, Fetch.
All right, see you guys next week. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye, live intelligent media for the politically aware. Thanks, everybody. See you next week.